Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, well, well. Wednesday is here. So is Tom Shattuck, major league newspaper editor, but still better on the radio. Better on the radio any day of the week. What's going on, Thomas?
How is it fall already? I mean, how unfair is this? I don't know about
you. It's cruel and unusual punishment.
It is, and it became not just baby steps into fall. This is fall. I mean, this is bundling up a little bit, fall, and it's where I am. It's very dry still.
I mean, today's a little breakthrough, but it's been cold.
It has
been. Late September, maybe mid-October weather. I mean, you really, last year I think we didn't get the cold until it was close to Halloween, and we've already had it. So maybe, if we're exchanging warm weather for cold and just changing the order of things, that's okay. I just want our warm days, Tom.
Well, you and I don't have the benefit of living near any of the large cities that are going to be set on fire in between October 26th and November 4th.
Which ones will those be, do you think?
Well, October 25th, or 26th, we'll have the vote on the Senate vote on the Supreme Court nominee, tentatively. And then November 3rd, of course, is the election. And any time after that, there's got to be one for election day, just because it's election day. And then if it's not resolved that night, I assume there'll be nightly riots throughout that time. And then, depending on how the outcome of the Supreme Court confirmation process comes, I assume there'll be one of when there's a signing welcoming ceremony. There's a lot. There's a lot out there to be to demonstrate.
A lot to protest.
There is, and it's
So this is really going to happen? I mean, I'm afraid to believe this. It's just such a glorious thing. This is going to happen. The Supreme Court will be controlled by people who believe in the American system of government.
Right. Exactly right, and not the system blown up as Don Lemon tells us that it needs to be. Yes, and unfortunately for the left, the next justice may be a Catholic, a devout Catholic, somebody who actually believes in God, and of course that comes with a whole laundry list of Judeo-Christian values, which are now verboten in the modern progressive woke party. And we'll see how she's welcomed. I expect the worst. I expect the worst. I don't think we'll see anything as ugly and really horrific as we'll see with Amy Coney Barrett, if it is her. And nothing's off the table. I could see the senators leaving Washington, the Democratic senators leaving Washington and sitting in exile at some point. Remember, the last time around with Kavanaugh, they all walked out at one point anyway, and they all yelled at the chairman, and there's nothing that I assume that there'll be frivolous charges out of nothing from nowhere about racist statements, or they'll make her account for women, young women, having been denied pregnancy planning health choices, mostly in the minority communities, I assume. I don't think they'll leave anything. And it's going to be Kamala Harris, who's leading the charge. She's going to be staring at her in the face and making her explain away the fact that women have been denied health care based on ideology similar to Amy Coney Barrett. And as soon as Amy Coney Barrett, is made to explain herself, Kamala will cut her off and take her time back and then launch another charge. It's going to be...
She'll reclaim her time.
Exactly. Reclaim my time.
But wait a sec. How is any of that relevant when you have a president who can say things like this?
What the hell did he spend all that money on the plastic surgery if he's going to cover it up with a mask?
Right.
You know? I mean, doesn't Trump win out in the end on all this stuff?
Does he win out? I mean, this is how I think he wins out, because this is incredible. So now where we are right now, before the hearings have started, the confirmation hearings, is we've got Joe Biden putting a lid on the day, so ending any kind of media content sharing on the day, before sometimes 9 o'clock in the morning. In this last month, it's been one-third of the days, they've just shut it down. They've simply shut it down, which is incredible, because generally with a campaign, when you've got the principal in a campaign, you have their an army of flacks giving you content, giving you short social media clips, audio files, this and that. But he's been cloistered in there in nothing. So instead, Kamala Harris has been out doing all the retail politicking. So she's out there doing all the retail politicking, and she's not saying what he would usually say. She's in a complete woke tour. So once, let me play something right here. This is her yesterday in Detroit. And she takes a question from a young gentleman, a young college student, from a neighborhood, and he poses a question to her, and listen to how she just handles the question.
On behalf of the Wayne State Black Student Union, we want to know that given that America is built on racism, sexism, and other evils, how will you, as vice president, advocate, whether through policy or just through the powers that you know that you can advocate on, how will we resolve these injustices for the black community and specifically for black women?
Yes, thank you. And thank you for your role of leadership. Part of it is I'm going to need your help.
I'm going to need your help, she says. So I'm very helpful, Kamala. Is he going to, chair a task force? He said built on evil, and she had no problem taking that in and accepting it for everything it was worth. Yes, you're right. Built on evil.
Thank you for your question.
Yes, I'm going to need your help. Do you mind helping? Actually, everything you said rings true, and we'd like a young leader like yourself to, forge policy. That is incredible. I mean, we've always said that Kamala Harris is unable to think on her feet. She has no defensive mechanism. She just simply lives to survive in whatever setting she's in and move on. But you can't have that, what she just did. That shows.
Well, what do you mean you can't have that?
Well,
this is what the left believes in now. This is the stance of the New York Times, the major, the CNN is the anti-American network, along with MSNBC, along with the big three-letter network. I mean, they're all playing this game now because they think this is where their bread is buttered. And they've just blown off the idea of America being something they cared about or liked or being a good place.
Yes, but that kind of stuff doesn't even poll well in the communities that she thinks she's pandering to. That polls well in Brooklyn loft apartments, in nice brownstones in the Upper West Side, and in L.A. and maybe Cambridge, Massachusetts, and in little towns in Connecticut. That polls well with white people, with college.
No, not the little towns.
But maybe not the little towns. But that polls well with college educated white people, upper middle class white people. In liberal
I see what you're saying.
Areas.
So you think I don't know. I don't know even if that might be too explicit. I mean, for white liberals to support Democrats, there has to be a disconnect between their support and this part of what the Democrats stand for. This being the core energy, the essential driving force of Democratic politics today is this solid anti-Americanism.
Well, that's
and
the pure...
I don't know how anybody goes out and campaigns mainstream on it, Tom. It's got to be done in these niche communities because it's political suicide for, there are a lot of Democrats who still just think they're voting for the party of Jack Kennedy.
Right. Well, those people will not like what they just heard.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
And Joe Biden won by getting the Kennedy people, by getting the liberal people who were liberals, just not crazy woke progressives. You know, they cleared the field for him because Biden was doing well, and he attracted suburban housewives, felt comfortable with old Joe, even though he had a problem speaking and seemed to be in declining years. But to have him then submerge, you know, like a U-boat and go out of sight and have her emerge and become a different candidate, she's espousing a totally different ticket. I think that's craziness, and it shows disorganization.
Well, how do you know this isn't the plan? They hide him. I mean, you said to me last week that you thought that there was some kind of coordination of both of the candidates, Harris and Biden, calling it the Harris administration. And doesn't this play the same note? The idea that he hides and she goes out and becomes the face of the campaign in front of the woke community?
Yes, well, I assumed last week that it would be a little more organized, and rather than him just essentially calling in sick, that she would take a bigger, more higher profile role, but leading more as the prosecutor, as a Joe Biden light, so to speak. And that's not what that does. I think Joe Biden, even though he's in decline, would have stopped that young man. And like McCain stopped the woman who called Obama a Muslim, would have said, whoa, we're not accepting that premise. Even merely for political instincts would have said, whoa, don't let this is poison here. This is going to get through in a video clip or a sound cut, and we can't have this. He would know. She doesn't know. So who's letting her out there to do this stuff?
Well, when did this happen? Was this today?
This is yesterday when he called in sick, called it a day.
If they were worried, they would have issued a clarification. Can you play the clip again just so everybody gets it?
Yes.
On behalf of the Wayne State Black Student Union, we want to know that given that America is built on racism, sexism, and other evils, how will you as vice president advocate, whether through policy or just through the powers that you know that you can advocate on? How will we resolve these injustices for the black community and specifically for black women?
Yes, thank you. And thank you for your role of leadership. Part of it is I'm going to need your help.
And notice the code switching at the end. I'm going to need your help. Jesus, how pandery is this? I don't know.
But you know what was interesting about his question? His question ends in the right place. And that is, how do we change this? That suggests a belief in America at the end, because that's what is great about America, is that built into it was an aspiration for equality, and we keep moving in the direction of equality. And that's contradictory, I think, to all of the positioning at the beginning of his question, given that America is built on, because the people who argue that are arguing that America's no good and needs to be thrown away because it is built on racism. The argument from the racial left is that the racism is permanent. There's nothing you can do. It's such a stained document that this plan for America was written on that you just have to burn the whole thing because it's racist to its core. But if at the end you're saying, how are you going to work with me as vice president to change this, this kid doesn't seem to understand where he's supposed to be on this, and maybe Kamala doesn't understand either.
What an optimistic view of this you have. I mean, that is you should be working for the campaign. They should have sent you out to fix this up yesterday.
No, I don't mean it like that. I mean, we have to stop the America haters.
His premise was not that we were a country with an unfulfilled promise to some Americans. His premise that we were a country built on evil, and how do we affect a reckoning when you're in? Are you going to do it through legislation or working with the Congress, or are you going to use your powers, is what he said. This is about a reckoning and codifying the revolution that's on the streets.
Oh, like
now.
She's a witch, you mean? He thinks she's a witch and she can...
Using executive powers, I'm not sure. But
she's going to do a spell.
Well, I mean, there are executive powers, and if you've got if you get rid of the filibuster in the Senate, and you've got two more Senate seats, and you get rid of the Electoral College, a lot of change can come through the executive branch
Or all right. Well, there's still a Supreme Court, which will be owned and operated by the Republicans. So it sounds like civil war is what you're planning. Tom Shattuck is here from the Lowell Sun newspaper. He's an old Boston radio friend who joins us on Wednesdays to talk about this kind of stuff. Stay with us. We'll talk more coming up on WTIC. Whoa, it's fun having Tom Shattuck here. So we're exploring the wokeness of America, which woke is code for what exactly, Tom? What does woke convey?
I mean, it's a construct of intersectional worth depending on immutable characteristics.
Wait, did you just say that off the top of your head, or do you have it written down?
I've had it beat into my brain so much. Let me tell you one thing. You're guilty in this new world, and I'm guilty in the woke world.
Because we are white, right?
We are white men, part of the patriarchy, part of the long imperialistic and oppressive regime that helped build this country and/or has benefited from our privilege due to our characteristics and due to the characteristics and due to the fact that we've had our boots on the necks of those intersectional people who we have victimized over the centuries.
What do you make of this, Tom? How did we get to this place? Do you think this was always the intent? I mean, certainly Martin Luther King, he didn't think when he was dreaming about his kids playing with white kids out in the front yard and none of them noticing the skin color differences, he wasn't just offering a cover story to get to this point on purpose, was he? Somebody kidnapped this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it comes from it's a great question. Certainly, the feeder system is academia. So where did it come from in academia? Intersectionality is something that was made up in the 80s, I think, and colleges cultivated.
Intersectionality just means if you're more than one of these characters, like if you're a black, transgender, lesbian, Hispanic. Is that intersectionality?
That's all good stuff. Yes. Yes. Your worth goes way up because.
So then you're like the dream presidential candidate for. And you have to hate the U.S. system.
You have to
hate the idea of capitalism.
Exactly.
Think that everybody should have equal amounts of everything and that the rich should give up their wealth.
Right. And people like you and I and lots of your listeners need to shut up because we've benefited from this system for centuries, and for years and years, that person you mentioned wasn't seen and wasn't heard. So you and I have to shut up and listen to her.
So it's time to make up for it. Not just shut up, but we have to now take the place lower down on the ladder. That's the essence of this. They're not talking about celebrating diversity anymore. That's gone. They're talking about switching places, right? Because
totally.
They believe in racism. They just think the wrong people were the victims of it.
Well, completely. Yes. And that's one of the things. I mean, there's a laundry list of reparations that you're going to have to involve yourself in. And that's not just monetary. You know, that's also forfeiting a lot of your free speech, because the speech that you've been benefiting from, trading as a currency with other white cisgender men, is dangerous speech. It's the very same speech that has resulted in the oppression and the persecution of the intersectional people. So your speech has to be curtailed and altered and changed. It has to be given a makeover. So your very talk show is dangerous. And as a matter of fact, it's not just dangerous. It is violence. What we're talking about is violence. Having these forums, especially you and I.
It creates danger from which people need protection.
Yes. Yes. But there's so much violence that it requires instant retaliation on the streets. So, you know, grab mom's, black sweatshirt and pants, and you, fill up water bottles, and as Trump said, you know, grab tuna cans and throw them at the police, because the police are the avant-garde soldiers of the establishment, which has been oppressing them for so long. So they're just entering into a war, a patriotic war, against you, me, and all of these institutions. And
all right, can you play that cut again before we go to news? I just want it, especially the beginning. Listen to his first few words.
On behalf of the Wayne State Black Student Union, we want to know that given that America is built on racism, sexism, and other evils, how will you, as vice president, advocate, whether through policy or just through the powers that you know that you can advocate on, how will we resolve these injustices for the black community and specifically for black women?
Yes, thank you. And thank you for your role of leadership. Part of it is
all right, that's good stuff. She needs his help. Stay with us. It's fun when he's here. It's Tom Shattuck. More coming up on WTIC.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
What the hell did he spend all that money on the plastic surgery if he's going to cover it up with a bill?
Yeah, Tom Shattuck is here. It is a fun. I love covering this stuff. It's funny. I recorded a couple of podcasts today, and the subject matter was about this anti-Americanism that has now taken hold on the left. And I still hear from people who are shocked when they hear me talk like this. But it's gotten so blatant now, Tom. I feel like everybody's got to get on board with saying it and make it clear that it's unacceptable and highlight that this is what the Democrats are up to.
You know, I don't know. I mean, what this kid was saying, the country born on racism, born on sexism, born on xenophobia, born on
built on. Isn't that what he said?
Built on. Yes, built on xenophobia and evil and all that stuff. I think now, if you're one of these folks from a nice bucolic white middle class town, and 3 months ago for your Facebook page, you got in the town square with your neighbors and all took a knee and did the Black Power symbol. That kid was just talking just bullet point tenets of Black Lives Matter. And you've got to be thinking to yourself, either you're just deleting your Facebook page, or you've got to be thinking to yourself, maybe we were part of something really, really awful. I can't imagine that it was a fun summer fling, I think, for a lot of people with Black Lives Matter and with this huge Marxist dark movement. But since then,
so you're saying as people start to see what it really is and what it means in terms of the intersectionality of Black Lives Matter and the Democratic Party, that represents problems for the country that they can't abide. They can't vote for that. That's what you're saying?
Well, I would think it's either they can't vote for it on one part of the spectrum. The other part of the spectrum, they're at least horrified. And, you know, in at least I would think in fear, because you've had all over social media, you've had people in Black Lives Matter Square in Washington, D.C. talking about it. It's time to kill the cops. We got to kill cops. It's time to kill the cops. And these are spokespeople for BLM. These aren't fringe people. These are spokespeople. Sure, they're a little more aggressive than the folks who just want to get rid of the nuclear family. But it's been...
Well, they are fringe people. They are fringe because their BLM is fringe, even though America made a mistake and got confused by the meaning of the phrase being the name of the organization, but that's a problem. 860-522-9842. Let's take some phone calls. Tom Shattuck is here. We'll mix him in with him. Adam, East Hartford, hi.
You know, Todd, first, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Thank you for the call, sir.
Now, I watched a little bit of the Channel 3 Eyewitness News video there, whoever it was, the local station with the Hartford police.
Yeah, just tell us what you saw.
Well, the police were very polite to the lady. They had their own dash cam video, and the lady went ballistic. So the reason I'm bringing this up, if those people that don't like being arrested or officers arresting them in their neighborhoods, they're never going to be satisfied with this Breonna Taylor outcome.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why, you know, that's why Louisville, they're turning it into a fortress. They're shutting down everything in Louisville because the charges are going to be announced, right?
They were announced. There's one charge.
Well, they were?
But there was one charge, but it is not. It is not a charge of murder. Let's see if I can.
Oh, I know, but there's something else coming down the pike, isn't there? That isn't going to do it.
No, there was only one charge, something about shooting another building when the kid was in the area. The cop a few months before that, or a couple years before that, had to shoot another building.
Why are they continuing to shut down Louisville?
Well, because I think the Breonna Taylor family, many of the cohorts or supporters, want to see the cops arrested and charged. Maybe even with murder, and it's not murder.
Right, and actually, you make a great point, too, because there has been, Adam has mentioned, like, trouble in the streets and people, you know, battening up the stores, but there's also a whole bunch of video on Twitter of all these U-Haul trucks, you know, pulling over and all these Antifa types jumping out with signs and things. I mean, they've got a whole mobile unit, Antifa does, and these other agitators. Maybe it's Black Lives Matter. I'm not even sure anymore. But, yeah, I think that no matter what happened, there was going to be rioting, no matter what. I mean, that is the name of the game for 2020, at least through the election. And that's been sanctioned by members of Congress who say, you know, there needs to be unrest in the streets as long as there is unrest in our lives. That's what Diana Presley, who's a part of the squad, says. And she's
so this one, I just want to be clear, this one charge that came out earlier, is that's all there is in the whole Louisville case, the Breonna Taylor.
I believe that's all there is
that's
for cops.
It.
Maybe
that's
I'm wrong.
That's the ballgame.
I believe so. I'm just seeing the breaking news, too. An officer has been indicted in Breonna Taylor case 6 months after her death at the hands of police officers executing a warrant, but the Kentucky Attorney General's office decision to only level charges against one of the officers involved is not the outcome many were looking for. A grand jury has announced 3 charges of wanton endangerment against Brett Hankinson, one of the officers involved in the March shooting. So I believe that's it.
Yeah, I guess it sounds like it. This is just amazing. That because my expectation now is that they're going to run out and charge people in these cases more aggressively just to provide cover so that you don't have this kind of thing happening. You've got a democratically controlled city and violence in neighborhoods that reflect on Joe Biden's candidacy. Donald Trump's position for this thing has been that we've got to stand up and protect law and order. He's the law and order candidate. Where does that leave Joe Biden if there's violence in the streets? So I just assume they're going to be overcharging, knowing that later the charges will be dropped and the cops who are suspended or fired will be reinstated and get their back pay.
Yeah. In this case, they didn't. I mean, this is up to the grand jury. I don't know if they can, I'm sure there can be some kind of civil action, or is that part of the...
But grand juries are the easiest place to get charges. That's what's fascinating about this.
But here's, wow. This shows you what your politicians are doing about this. Bernie Sanders tweets out, Breonna Taylor's life mattered. This result is a disgrace and an abdication of justice. Our criminal justice system is racist. The time for fundamental change is now. And, well, that acts out in the streets and in a way that we'll see tonight when you see these people going after the cops because elected officials are telling them to do that.
There needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
That's Ayanna Presley, the chum of AOC and Ilhan Omar.
She's a congresswoman from Boston.
Huh? Yes, a member of the squad, exactly.
Okay, so how do these pieces fit together then in terms of electoral politics? You've got the left and BLM merged together and pro-violence. And how does that work for a presidential election coming up in a little over a month if Louisville explodes, as they've been preparing for it maybe doing if the charges come out the way they've come out?
It's extortion. It's telling you that there will be unrest in the streets, in fire in the streets, in certain groups will be taking over certain entire areas of cities until you do the right thing. And I believe.
But if that happens now, they'll be electing Donald Trump, won't they?
Well, the message is, I believe, that you have to cast off Donald Trump, or this stuff goes on and on.
That might be the words. That might be the words, but the action will be. America will get scared. I mean, I think this is what you were saying before, that that Americans will come to their senses and realize what the Democratic Party is up to, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what America is anymore. I don't know. I see, you know, half of America's college students in the streets throwing bottles of urine at law enforcement. And those are the white kids in Ivy League schools.
Yeah, but they're, I mean, college kids are always dopes. The question is, where is the average American? I don't think the average American has left town, that they've just dropped their brain off. And no, I don't believe that at all.
I don't know.
The average American is with law and order. The average American knows what's going on, and that this is a kidnapping of the ideals of Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement, and it's a trash America program that's replaced it.
But the average American is not in control of the media and the city centers, the population centers, the centers that tell us what about culture is cool. The average American is not the TikTok influencers and Instagram stars. Those are elites, and they all are part. They're on this side. They're on the side of the kid who's, you know, saying, what are you going to do about this country being built on evil? I don't think.
But if that's what you've got out there on TV is violence in the streets, that's what gets voted on, it seems to me.
It
Tom
has
Shattuck
historically.
Is here, 860-522-9842. Hang on, Thomas. Let's get a call in. Mike in West Hartford. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Todd. Love the show. Listen to it all the time.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. So I just would like to ask people to look up the history of how the Democratic Party was formed all the way back after the Civil War, because there was no Democratic Party before the Civil War. And that's because the Democratic Party originated from the Deep South, and all of their leaders basically formed.
Oh, we lost you, Mike.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. You came back.
So the Democratic Party is historically racist. Like, that, they are founded on racism, not America.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think
that's a good point.
Yep.
That's a good quick answer.
And I just heard someone mentioning TikTok, and I just thought, in today's society, religion has become more and more irrelevant in a lot of our, like, not my life, but our life, like, on average, I would say it's definitely gone down from previous generations. And what did we replace religion with? I would say for college kids or kids under 30, it was replaced with technology. And you have all of these big tech guys playing God, basically, like Mark Zuckerberg.
All right. Thank you, Mike, for the call. Thomas, what's your reaction to this? Because there is all this stuff coming together. The Democrats are the party that is anti-religion. They are the party that is anti-family, anti-marriage, that pays people to not get married, incentivizes out-of-wedlock births. Doesn't all this stuff have to come together for people at some point soon, especially if there's violence in the streets leading up to this election?
Well, I mean, I would say that it's responsible for some of the violence in the streets. I don't know, and I think Mike is absolutely right, that the void is being filled with social media, with influential apps. All the voids in your life when you're a 15-year-old can essentially be filled with validation that you can get online in one way or another. And if you need to contort yourself to get the validation, either in words or in physically, then the technology is right there for you to do it. I do think also that for older generations, you know, 30s, 40s and up, that the, you know, climate religion is something that people grasp onto instead of, Orthodox religions. And now the intersectionality that we talked about, because there's a whole universe of, there's a moral code, there's a good and there's a bad. There are things that you should be doing as a good evangelist of it day in and day out. So, I mean, this is a toxic problem with the culture. I think that is a problem. I think he is right. I think that some of the suicide numbers of young people are just a evidence of this. And it's
I'm not disputing any of that. All this stuff being gone, the dismantling that the left does, they do without regard for the, or maybe because of the damage it will do. Tom Shattuck is here. We'll talk more coming up on WTIC. Good afternoon, Wednesday. Tom Shattuck is here. We're talking about the future of America right now, over the future over the next couple of months, specifically because there is this this clarity that is coming into view. Democrats have always hidden the radicalism that was underpinning the little pieces of policy that they actually talked about. And those days are gone. I think that's the root of what we're discussing here, Tom, is that they now can't contain it because they have a zealous base that wants to hear the most outrageous, venomous things being said in the most intense and screechy way. And that's a whole different ballgame. That's what Trump is banking on, I think, to win the election.
Yes. Yes, oh, absolutely. I mean, because he's him, he says it. You have no choice, really. I mean, look at the streets is what he says. And all these crazy milquetoast mayors who take a beating and go and try to appease the crowd, and they just, you know, jump all over them and humiliate them, and they make them get on their hands and knees, and then they castigate them, and there's no appeasing them whatsoever. And these mayors, they're fine with being invertebrates. They're fine with nightly emasculations. But they get tough when they talk about Trump, though. They are happy to. If it's your own apartment that's on fire, they won't complain about that because it's being done in the name of social justice.
But, you know, the challenge of this, as the pundits on TV put it, is to move from it just being about how much you hate Trump, which is what the Democrats have framed the election about, to where it's, do you want this or do you want that? And things like riots in the streets or Joe Biden not being able to complete a sentence in a TV debate, those are things that make it binary. Let's get Dave from Waterbury in on the conversation. Hi, Dave. You're on WTIC with Tom Shattuck.
Hi, Tom and Todd. I've heard that comment before about the origins of the Democratic Party. But, of course, as you know, around the time of George Wallace, the Southern Democrat racist segregationists went into the Republican Party. And I'm on a church board. And, of course, a lot of these conflicts I kind of feel stressed about because, you know, over the years I've spent tens of thousands of dollars, many tens of thousands of dollars supporting my church. And then I go on their Facebook page to some of the Trump supporters, and they say the blacks should be put back and we should rent cruise ships that are available now and send them all back home. And some of these people are, you know, their parents came right after the fall of Nazi Germany, and they've been here like for one generation. So they went. Everybody, you know.
But I think it's important to focus on that the Democrats have been consistent in this. Democrats operate the institutional racism in American cities that is at the root of all these problems with police and with bad education. And everything that's going on there is supervised, owned and operated completely by the Democrats. They are the party of racism still. That's the thing people just don't realize. I'm sorry I've got to hold you right there because we're running out of time. Tom, 30 seconds. Say something.
All right. So next Tuesday, I believe, is the debate. I look for a stronger than expected showing from Joe Biden. But I do believe that his health challenges will be exposed during the debate. I hope that when that happens, President Trump has a good sense to keep his powder dry and let the American people make their own decision on what kind of shape the guy is in. And if that happens, then maybe this ticket reversal that we're seeing in action becomes solidified, and that's what we see Harris-Biden going forward.
All right, Tom Shattuck, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
Always great to have you here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.